Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Wonderful. Oh, it's so good to see you in church today. If I haven't met you before, my name's Mel. I'm the campus pastor here along with my husband Mark. And it's so great to have you in the house. It's, like I said, it's a significant day. We're growing. Things are changing. And you know what? Sometimes when we with growth, there always comes change. And sometimes things can feel a little different. And while our services were always going to be the same across all three of our services, you might feel a little sense of difference because we're living in a season of change. Yeah, we're living in a season of change. But you know what? Different isn't always bad, okay? It's very Aldi. It's good different, right? It's good different. And so we're going to lean into it. That was so cringy, wasn't it? It's good different, but just lean into it, okay? It's good different. So let's lean into the good different. And you know what? I love that there are empty chairs here today. Because you know what that means? It means you can invite the people in your world. There's somewhere for them to sit, yeah? And there's somewhere for them to encounter Jesus, and there's somewhere for them to get saved. So come on, let's steward this season well. Let's invite people along. Let's fill this place. Let's fill this place with people. So like I said, this is a significant day. And so today I want to take you to a passage of scripture to a significant day in the life of God's people as they were about to step into a new season. And we're going to go to Joshua chapter 3, and we're coming here to this account where Joshua is with the Israelite people and they're about to cross over into the promised land. They've got to cross the Jordan River and they're going to be stepping into a new season after spending 40 years or more in the wilderness. And so we're going to Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and you go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before.' And Joshua said to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.' And then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people.' So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and they went before the people." So today I want to speak to you on a message that I've entitled, "It's Time." It's time. This was a significant moment for Joshua and the Israelites. Under Moses' leadership, they had been miraculously set free from 400 years of slavery in Egypt, and then they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and came to Canaan, or the promised land, to finally step into what God had promised. However, this was not the first time that the Israelites had come to the edge of the wilderness to cross over into the promised land. Just over 40 years ago, they had come to this place called Kadesh, which was at the southern end of Canaan. And Moses sent in 12 spies into the land of Canaan to spy out what the land was like and what the people were like. And Joshua was one of those spies. And although he and Caleb brought back a faith-filled report about the land, it was drowned out. It was drowned out by the bad report of the other spies. And instead of entering into the promised land, they suffered the disappointment of being denied entry because of their fear. So an entire generation of Israelites who had grown up enslaved in Egypt, although they had been set free, over the next 40 years, those people all died out in the wilderness. However, they did have children, and those children grew up in the wilderness. And here in Joshua 3, we read of this generation having reached the edge of the wilderness, preparing to cross over into the promised land. And there's no record. Notice that in this account, there's no record of anyone challenging what they're about to do. There's no record of anyone bringing a report that is full of doubt or full of fear or full of unbelief. They actually were coming to the edge of the promised wilderness, about to cross over, and they were coming in faith. They were coming with a sense of faith for what God was about to do. So what had changed this time? Well, nothing had changed about the destination. There were still enemies in the land. There were still strongholds. There were still giants. There were still going to be challenges. There were going to still be people to overcome and territory to take. Nothing had changed about the destination. It was the people who had changed. It was the people who had changed. You see, God had done a new thing in this generation that grew up in the wilderness. And instead of approaching the new season with fear, they now approached it with faith. Their hearts and minds had been transformed to live by faith and to be willing to step out in obedience to God into places that they'd never been before. And they entered in. They entered in. This moment of crossing over into the promised land, it speaks to us prophetically about what it looks like to cross over into a new season. Life is full of new seasons. Maybe you can think back to when you've stepped into new seasons, or perhaps you're stepping into one right now, a new season in your life. Practically, it might look like moving to a new city or a new suburb. It might look like starting a new job or a new course. It might look like getting married or becoming a parent or adding another child to your family. Personally and spiritually, it might look like leaving behind old mindsets. It might look like being healed from past hurts or taking responsibility for your habits, embracing your calling, becoming part of church community. Go to Connect. When speaking to his people through the prophet Isaiah about stepping into a new season, God identifies an important factor. In Isaiah 43, verse 19, he says, "Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness. I will make rivers in the desert." You see, what the Lord is highlighting about entering a new season is that it will always come with resistance or obstacles that you need to overcome. For you, it's probably not a wilderness. It's probably not a desert. Instead, it might be fear of the unknown. Instead, it might be insecurity. It might be condemnation about past mistakes, the reminder of past hurts, not being willing to release control or leave what is comfortable. It might be a sense of not being enough or having enough or doubting that God is really leading. But what we learn from the Israelites' example is that a new season will always require us to overcome resistance in ourselves so that we can fully embrace God's purpose. When you step into a new season, there is always going to be something to overcome. And like the Israelites in their first opportunity to cross over to the promised land, if we allow that resistance to remain, we will find ourselves retreating, procrastinating, arguing with God, or only partially stepping in and missing out on the fullness of what he has for us on the other side of crossing over, or worse still, not entering in at all. And I think Joshua knew this after what happened the first time, because when he brought them to the edge of the wilderness this second time, he knew what was needed to cross over. See what happened in Joshua 3:5. He says to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Jesus' command to sanctify themselves was a command to separate themselves from common things and bring their focus to the Lord. You see, Joshua knew that even though they were taking physical ground, that this battle they were entering into was also spiritual. it was also spiritual, and that there were things to overcome that were spiritual. And so what I want to suggest to you today is that it is time, that it is time for us to overcome the things that keep undermining our ability to step into the new. And not just talking at as a church, but I'm talking about us. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. It's time for us to overcome the things that cause us to be constantly tethered to the old season and stop us from stepping into the new, because God has something new for you. God has something new for your family, and it's time for us to overcome. And so today I want to speak to you about some things that we need to overcome so that we can fully step into the new that God has for us. And the first one is this: it's time for us to overcome fear. It's time to overcome fear. Now, I'm going to share an account with you about a man called Peter. And Peter often had these battles with fear. And many of you would know this account of when Peter was out in a boat on the ocean and the wind and the waves were storming, and Jesus starts to walk towards the boat on the water. And when Peter sees this and realizes it's Jesus, he asks for the Lord to allow him to come on the water too. And we're going to pick this up from Matthew 14 and verse 28. And it says, Peter answered Jesus and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. But when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. You see, like Peter, we often fail to fully step into the new season when we fear the obstacles that are before us, or we fear the unknown. You see, what we need to know about fear is that fear is futuristic. It projects towards the future into a reality that is devoid of God. And when it takes hold of our lives, it causes us to be paralyzed in taking any action towards stepping into the new. See, when God calls you into something new, fear will tell you that the safest approach is for you to stay in the boat. Fear will tell you not to step out. Fear will say, look at what's going on around you. These circumstances are not ideal for you. You need to wait for things to settle down. But did Jesus say to Peter when he called him out of the boat, Peter, just hang on a minute. I'm going to calm this storm. I'm going to smooth out the waves. No, he didn't. He called Peter out into the storm. He said, it doesn't matter, Peter. Just keep your eyes on me. Just keep your eyes on me and step out of the boat. You see, faith is the opposite to fear. Faith projects into a future reality where God is present, and that faith empowers us to then step into it. You see, the key to overcoming your fear of stepping into the new is faith. It's faith. It may seem safer to avoid fear and stay in the boat. In fact, fear will tell you, don't step out, stay in. But when you choose to stay in your boat, while you might be avoiding fear, you're actually putting your faith in a dangerous place. Because when you stop stepping out and trusting the Lord, your faith starts to fall asleep. Come on, your faith starts to become dormant. And what I might even suggest to you today, that that's not faith at all. Because faith is actually an action word. Faith requires itself to be exercised in order for it to be evident. Just read what it says in Hebrews 11. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. You see, faith should be producing a testimony in your life. We need to have a history with God. And I'm not talking about having a history of God that he did something great for you back in 2016. I'm talking about having this ongoing lifestyle of stepping out in faith again and again and again, that we become a living testimony of what Jesus has done in our life, that we can have a good testimony of the faith that we've held on to, that we've stepped out of the boat again and again and again. Because you see, when you refuse to listen, you only strengthen your fear. When you refuse to listen, you only strengthen your fear. You know, back when Mark and I got married, I was going to try and do the math, but I can't do it right now. nearly 24 years ago. Wow, 24 years, nearly 25. And when we went on our honeymoon, we went to Cairns and we thought while we were there, we would go bungee jumping. And Mark went first and he had no fear. He was amazing. He did this like beautiful swan dive off the bridge. And then when the band pulled him back up, he waved to the camera. It makes for a great video. It's awesome. But I did not respond in quite the same way. And I remember standing on the edge of the bridge and the guys behind me, you know, they tied the bands around your legs and did all of that sort of thing. And he said, and I was just like, nah, I'm not doing it. And he said, just look out over the horizon. Don't look down. Just look out there and then step off. And I was, and he, then he said, let go of the band. And so I let go of the band. And then he said, let go of me. and I did eventually jump off and it was not pretty. Makes for a very interesting video. But you see, the difference for Mark was he had faith in the band. He had faith in his in the band. He when he jumped off, he didn't have any fear because he had faith. He trusted in that band. I did not trust in the band. And you see, when you don't trust in the Lord, you'll find every way you can to tether yourself to something natural. You'll find every way you can to tether yourself to something natural. You'll hold on to the band, you'll hold on to the guy who's trying to tell you to jump off the bridge, you'll hold on to the pole, you'll hold on to everything that in the natural seems to be the place that will keep you safe. And you know what? God doesn't call us to live that kind of life. He calls us to step out of the boat. He called Peter to step out of the boat with both feet. He said, Peter, you know, Peter didn't hold on to the side. He just said, just step out and trust him and walk on the water. So there's some of us here today who need to stop tethering ourselves to natural things and start to trust in the Lord, to trust in him and step out. Because you see, your faith is at its best when you respond to the voice of God. This is how you exercise and strengthen your faith, by stepping out in obedience to him. So come on, it's time for us. It's time for us to overcome fear and to step out in faith, to step out in faith. And my second point is this, that it's time to overcome unbelief. It's time to overcome unbelief. Let's go to that passage in Scripture where the Israelites first came, the first time they came to the edge of the wilderness and looked at the promised land. And we know that Joshua and Caleb, when they came back with their report about the promised land, they brought this really faith-filled report and encouraged the people that they could go in and take this land. But then these 10 spies, these men, they brought their report, which was not so good. And in Numbers 13, 31, we read what they said. It says, the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people who we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants, descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. You see, these 10 spies, they had spent years seeing God work miracle after miracle in the wilderness. They'd seen God send the 10 plagues back in Egypt. They'd seen him part the Red Sea. They'd seen the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day. They'd seen him miraculously provide quail and manna and water from a rock. These 10 spies who spied out this promised land with Joshua and Caleb, they did not, even after all of that, they did not believe that God would make a way for them to enter in. And they were experts on all the devastating detail of the land. They said that it devours its inhabitants. They start exaggerating. They bring the drama. They bring the panic to the story. And they left God out of it completely. Not one mention of the Lord in their report, right? Not one mention. And their words spouted unbelief that ultimately led the Israelites to a crisis of faith that excluded them from the new season. This was what unbelief does. You see, this example shows us that unbelief doesn't just delay destiny, it can redefine it. It can redefine your destiny because, as the popular quote goes, if you fight hard enough for your limitations, you get to keep them. You get to keep them. If you fight hard enough to hold on to your dysfunction, you get to keep it. If you fight hard enough to stay where you are, you get to stay there. Come on, if you've got to decide, what am I fighting for today? Am I fighting to stay where I am, or I'm fighting for all of the possibilities in God? What am I fighting for today? We need to become a people who are willing to fight to step out of unbelief and into faith. We need to be a people who are willing to fight to overcome the unbelief in our life so we can take hold of this new season in faith. You know, we all have struggles with unbelief. It can be hard to keep believing when what matters to you is falling apart. It can be hard to stay unbelief when that diagnosis is looming, or when you've lost somebody who's close to you, when relationships are strained, or you can't see how your finances are going to carry you through. And we know as well that it can be hard to stay in belief when you've experienced disappointment or discouragement or a long and prolonged unanswered to prayer. And we also live in a world, there's very little outside of what you're in right now that will encourage you to stay in faith. Now, come on, we live in a world that's constantly pulling us in lots of different directions, into lots of different ideologies and ways of doing life. Unbelief can be something that becomes very easy for us to slip into. And so we need to remember that when we are living our life for God, and when we're stepping into new seasons, and we're doing our work for Him, and we're wanting to live in His purposes, that living in God's purposes will always be outside the realm of our ability. Living in His purposes always has been and always will be outside of the realm of our ability. Your salvation is outside the realm of your ability, but your faith in Him is what brought you into salvation. Does that make sense today? When you decided to believe in Him with all of your heart and confess with your mouth that He was Lord, you were saved. You were saved, saved because of His sacrifice and because you chose to believe in it and chose to draw that, step into that with your life. You see, that's outside of your ability, but your faith can cause you to enter in. And it's the same with the new season. It's outside of your ability, but your faith in God will draw you in. It will cause you to step over that line and step into what He has for you. And this is the key to coming back from unbelief, is to start taking some action to bring your attention back to God. Is start taking that action to give your attention back to Him instead of the unbelief and the circumstances in your life. You see, Colossians 3 verse 1 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth," not on the things of the earth. This word seek is not a passive word. It's the Greek word zeteo, which means to search for, desire, demand. It is a word of action. It's a word of intention. It's a word of determination, that where we are seeking out the Lord. And it says to set your mind, which is the Greek word phroneo, which means to have an understanding or to think on those things which are above, to think on those things that magnify Christ. You know, those men who came back with that report, they weren't thinking on the things that God was going to do when they stepped into that land. All they were thinking on were the giants and the dangers and all of the struggles that they thought they might face when they stepped in. But what Paul is saying here is that if we want to move from one season to the next with belief in Christ, we need to search for, desire, and demand those things which are above, where Christ is. We need to set our thinking and our understanding on Him. We need to stop fighting for our limitations and instead start fighting for the possibilities in God. Even if you don't feel like it, even if you don't see it, you can seek and set your mind on Christ. You can seek and set your mind on Him. When all you can see is the brokenness in your body, when all you can see is that you can't afford that bill, when all you can see is that your marriage is falling apart, when all that you can see is there's no future or hope for you, if you can seek and set your mind on the Lord, then you will overcome the unbelief that is raging up inside of you. You need to pick up your Bible and you need to find what the Word says and start declaring the possibilities in God. Listen to what He says about your body. He says that He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. Come on, that's going to stir faith in you to believe for your body. There is the Word that says that if we bring our tithes into the storehouse, that He'll pour out more than we can receive. Come on, that's got to encourage you in your finances today. The Lord desires to do a work in your life, but we've got to seek and set our minds on Him. We've got to stay in faith. When belief starts to press in, we need to stay in faith. We need to stay in faith, and it's time for us to stay in faith. It's time for us to overcome unbelief and start declaring the possibilities that we can find in God. It's time to seek and set our minds. And my last point is this. It's time for us to overcome the past. It's time for us to overcome the past. You know, in Isaiah 43, when Isaiah is talking to, the Lord's talking through Isaiah to the Israelite people about a new season. And He says, behold, I do a new thing. Before He even gets to that point, he says this phrase. He says, do not remember the former things. He says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. He's saying to the people, as you step into a new season, don't take with it the baggage from the past. Don't take with you into that new season the baggage from the past. Because you see, God never designed us or called us into a new season with the intention for our past to be the thing that dictates what happens in our future. He desired for the Israelite people to step into a new season, into their new beginning and the new way that they would find with God, to find it in faith in Him, not in the belief of what happened in the past, not by recounting the story of what happened way back when that person did that and that leader ignored me or that thing happened back in that church or in that way. But God calls us to lay that aside. God calls us to lay that aside and step into the new thing and allow God to do a work in the new season to write a story with your life that looks different to how it was before. He doesn't desire for you to get stuck in your past, but to live with a focus towards the future. Come on, as the band joins me, Jeremiah 29:11, God said this. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. This is God's plan for your life. He doesn't desire to bring evil or harm to you, but His desire is to bring you a future and a hope. A future not written by your past, a future written by Him. And so come on, it's time for us today to overcome the past. It's time to let it go. It's time to fully step into what the Lord has for us in our future.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.